Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Lisa Mullins. We're going to start today with a call for a long overdue dialogue on race and class in Boston. It came last night from Mayor Marty Walsh in his first State of the City address.
In addition to plans to improve public schools, build more affordable housing, develop the city's innovation economy, and provide more services for the homeless and recovery community, Walsh talked about a citywide effort to finally come to terms with the lingering effects of the city's busing crisis 40 years ago. Here's part of what he said last night.
I know from my own life, you can't move forward unless you reach out and deal honestly with the past. The truth is that when it comes to race and class, Boston has a lot of unfinished business. We must not be afraid to talk about it. So this year, in partnership with the Rockefeller Foundation, we will convene a citywide conversation aimed at healing divisions that go back generations. Bostonians need to know, at a deep level, we can depend on each other. And when we see injustice, we can and will speak up for each other.
To nurture that dialogue on race and class in Boston, Mayor Walsh will hire a chief resiliency officer to lead the effort.
To talk more about this, we're joined by Joyce Linehan. She's chief of policy in the mayor's office. And Joyce, welcome back to Radio Boston. It's good to have you.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
So let's start with this idea that a dialogue can lead to healing, as the mayor calls it. What would the mayor's office like to see come out of these conversations?
Race and class are really the subtext of every conversation that we ever have in City Hall around issues of social policy. And we saw this opportunity with the Rockefeller Foundation, who we're going to be working in partnership with, when they issued the call for this grant, to really kind of step back and take a look at what the chronic stresses were in Boston around race and class, and have a conversation about them so that we can try to move forward, so that when we're hit with an acute shock like a natural disaster, a terrorist attack, anything like that, that we're able to really coalesce much better as a community than we are currently able to. Which is not to say that we're not, a great community, but it seems like when it comes to issues of equity, we really have a lot of work to do, and I think that's what the mayor was talking about last night.
Right, and are we talking here about the painful legacy of court-ordered busing 40 years ago or so, right?
Well, yeah, so Rockefeller asked us to think about what were the stresses that we deal with, the chronic stresses that we deal with that hinder us from moving through these acute shocks that we might be faced with. So we were saying that we thought that racism was one of the chronic stresses that we deal with, and that one of the acute shocks that sort of brought that to the fore was what happened 40 years ago. And I personally used to think that that was a problem with an expiration date, but the older I get and the more you think about it, and in talks that I've had with the mayor about this, it really isn't. Even if you weren't here when this stuff happened, even if you weren't born when this stuff happened, the baggage is still here. It's this undercurrent that's just always with us. So we want to finally have a conversation. And I should say that, we understand that these conversations have taken place in the past in Boston, but the city's never been the convener.
I see.
And I think the difference here is that in hiring a chief resilience officer, we want to have the conversations, but we also want to really take a step back and think about how we're going to move past those conversations and try to coalesce better as a community.
So I gather that this will be a question for the chief resilience officer, whoever that will be. But how do you imagine, how does the mayor imagine, what's the talk in City Hall about how this citywide dialogue takes place?
So that's just it. I think that we're having difficulty imagining it. We know a conversation has to take place. We know that we have to figure out a way to move past these things. But we're going to look at the expertise that we have access to by taking advantage of the resources that Rockefeller brings us to really, look outside. I want to look at things like, I know they're very different issues, but I want to look at the truth and reconciliation process in South Africa. Mm. I want to look at, you know, the Irish peace process. I want to look at all of these things and try to figure out what we can take from those processes that will help us. And a lot of the thinking about this particular grant proposal that we made goes back to a lot of work that we were doing at Arts Emerson when I was working there. It has to do with how the arts can also help convene a conversation around these things. And at the time, Arts Emerson was working on developing a stage play from Anthony Lucas's Common Ground. And just the process of going through that and workshopping that piece was really, you know, cathartic and really led to some really great conversations about these things that are still happening in Boston today. And, you know, we'd like to leverage that kind of partnership to bring that into play with what we're doing here.
Joy, stand by. I want to introduce Marie St. Fleur. She's a former state rep from the 5th District. She represented parts of Dorchester and Roxbury. She's now the president and CEO of the Bessie Tart Wilson Initiative for Children. And Marie, welcome back to Radio Boston. It's good to have you.
It's good to be there, Anthony. Thank you.
What do you make of this idea, a citywide dialogue on race and class?
I think I'm actually very excited about the opportunity for this dialogue, a structured dialogue. I think we've had dialogues, as Joyce mentioned, in the past, but it has not been led by the city. I think this is an opportunity with the leadership of the city to bring all segments of the community in this conversation, because honestly, what happened with the desegregation in 1974 was just the outcomes of many years of segregation in the city of Boston. Mm. I was 12 years old when that desegregation order came through. And no matter whether you were in a Catholic school or you were in a public school, if you were a kid, no matter what race, I think you were impacted. There were degrees of that impact. And I think for the first time, it's an opportunity for both communities that were impacted by this, both white and black, to come together, white, black, and brown, because there were Latino kids who were impacted by this as well.
A lot of people impacted. So what would make these conversations a success from your perspective?
That it's not simply a conversation. I mean, I think that we look at unemployment is a root cause. The economic disparities that exist in the city, there are some parts of the city where unemployment is significantly high. There's some parts of the city where, you know, owning housing, the structural, I mean, if we build it, yes, around a conversation about what happened and how do we move forward, and then also I would suggest looking at some of the structural issues that perpetuate some of the inequities, and having real conversations how we move some of those structural issues that perpetuates those inequities.
Interesting.
I think those are positive ways to make it not simply a dialogue where we all come together in a room and then actually everybody else goes home afterwards.
I just want to go back to Joyce Linehan, Marie, on some of those points you break up and that you bring up. I mean, Joyce, when we talk about the challenges today in Boston, the focus is often on income inequality, shortage of affordable housing, the achievement gap. Are these all challenges related to this difficult legacy around race and class?
Absolutely. It's all intertwined, and I think it's in seeing that intersectionality, that's really where we have a lot of work to do. This work can't happen in a vacuum. We have to be working on all of those other things concurrently. And I think that, as an administration, we're starting to put programs into place that can help address this. There's a lot of work going on nationally. Mayor Walsh is involved in the Cities of Opportunity Task Force, which is a group of 40 mayors nationally who are looking at these kinds of issues. So to deal with income inequality and housing and transportation and education and all of the places where there are opportunity gaps and try to address those.
All right. Big challenge ahead and call for a big conversation there. That's Joyce Linehan. She's chief of policy in Mayor Marty Walsh's administration. Joyce, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
And Marie St. Fleur, the president and CEO of the Bessie Tart Wilson Initiative for Children. Marie, always good to have you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.